Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 6a. The Reverend Sean Dinser is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS, International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Romans, the 12th chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is so helpful for understanding as defining your terms and using them precisely. Theologians are naturally drawn to this care about words, which is why we have to be warned against logomachy, the unnecessary fighting over terms. But let us consider two words that continue to be used imprecisely in the church: priest and worship. Now, the title priest continues to be used for ministers in the Christian church. Our Lutheran forefathers didn't stop using it, even though they spoke very precisely about it during the Reformation. Only Romophobia has finally shaken that term among our use here, so that we have become nervous to ever call a pastor a priest. But despite that aversion, what is it that comes to your mind when you hear the word priest? The epistle to the Hebrews and the letters of Peter say plainly that the entire Christian church is the Lord's New Testament priesthood. We all serve under our great high priest, Jesus Christ. You and I together are Christ's chosen race, royal priesthood, the holy nation, the people for his own possession. Each Christian is a priest, and not individually or isolated off in our corners, but we are all members together of this priesthood. So Paul writes, as in one body we have many members, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. St. Peter also describes this truth with a parallel image, not of a body, but of a building. As you come to God, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Paul urges us today, by God's mercies, to take up our priestcraft, to present a very precise sort of sacrifice to our God. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. Peter likewise wrote that you are being built up as a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, unlike in the Old, in the New Testament, we offer spiritual sacrifices, he says. That is, we offer them in the Holy Spirit. A spiritual sacrifice is a sacrifice like Abel's that is offered in faith. But unlike even that sacrifice, no animal butchering is necessary now. There's a contradiction in terms there, then, isn't there? A living sacrifice? What good is that kind of sacrifice? A sacrifice without blood. Well, the sacrifices that we present are our bodies. And we present them not for ritual death, but in new life. This makes sense only because our priesthood serves under Christ, the high priest. He offered his body into death. He presented his blood for atonement. What he accomplished with was an atoning sacrifice. Not only one that matched the proper definition, but one which in fact defines all other sacrifices. And that's why Christ's sacrifice was once and for all. Now, what as Christians you and I offer are not our bodies to be burned alive, although some Christians are, but we offer our bodies to serve in whatever place God calls us. We neither ignore our bodies as if all that matters was our mind, nor do we obsess over our bodies, obsess over our appearances before this world. It is our minds that are transformed and renewed by the Word and the Spirit of God, and this then gives proof to the Lord's will also in good and acceptable action. Such lives are pleasing. They are holy and acceptable to God on account of the atoning sacrifice of our great high priest. Which then brings us to the other word, worship. One I should know about, but one that even in my case is used very imprecisely. When we use the word worship, we normally mean services of the church, just like the one we're in the middle of now. We mean the preaching and the breaking of the bread in the Holy Communion. We mean the reading of the Scriptures. We mean the offering of corporate prayers together. We mean the singing of confessional praise in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All of those activities which happen in the church. Another kind of imprecisely used word. And yet these are the least of all the sacrifices that Paul is talking about today, that he's talking about are reasonable and acceptable, our spiritual worship. Our whole body and life is the appropriate and the living sacrifice. The various works that we do as varied people in various stations in life, this is worship. That's the 9 to 5, Monday to Friday self, but also the 5 to 11, Sunday to Sunday self. What we do then is most truly called worship. It's the cult. It's the life of sacrifice that we have as New Testament priests, the life of good works and of prayer, which are lives lived according to the measure of faith apportioned by God. This is what worships him. His Spirit brings the mercies of God to fruition in each of us, transforming and renewing us, causing us to grow in wisdom, bringing about the good and the acceptable and even the complete in due time, all according to God's will. Now, for such sacrifices to be holy, acceptable, and complete, that means, fellow priests, that we need to stick together as a priesthood. We need to stick close to our high priest. We need to hear those mercies of God often and be renewed in mind and in conscience by God's grace. Just as the true definition of priest does not eliminate pastors, so this acceptable worship of living sacrifices doesn't do away with 11 o'clock chapel and all of our worship services, even if we call them imprecisely like that. Only let us not believe so narrowly that our priesthood is anything less than our entire body, our entire mind, our entire life. Let us not come to believe that it's only the prayers and the services and not also the wisdom and the deeds and the love that among us are to belong to the mercies of God, to be conducted soberly and according to His goodwill. There's no need to fight unnecessarily over these terms that we use popularly. But now you know a better reason why we Lutherans are still just a little uncomfortable calling pastors priests, and even more so, to call what we do here worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.